From Radio Deutsche Welle, Melody Time. Join us for half an hour of light classical music. Hello, I'm Diane Erickson. Welcome to today's program, which opens with music from the Ballet Gaieté Parisienne by Manuel Rosenthal. If that title of Parisian gaiety reminds you of Jacques Offenbach, you're right on the mark. All of the melodies in this ballet music were in fact created by Offenbach. About 60 years ago, Manuel Rosenthal arranged and combined them for a gala event honoring the great dancer and choreographer Leonid Massin. The premiere of the ballet in Monte Carlo in 1938 was a huge success for everyone involved in the production, choreographer, arranger, and finally, though posthumously, composer. Even today, Manuel Rosenthal is the medium through which many listeners find their way to Offenbach's music. Here's the overture to Gaieté Parisienne, with Herbert von Karajan leading the London Philharmonic Orchestra. By Jacques Offenbach that were given a second life some 50 years after the death of the composer in the form of Manuel Rosenthal's ballet Gaieté Parisienne. Music of Johann Strauss was also reshaped by other hands into one of the most popular Viennese operettas, as we'll hear at the end of our program. But for now, let's focus on the flip side of such musical afterlife and take a look at the truly wondrous early careers of some of music history's notable child prodigies. Say prodigy, and Mozart is probably the first name that comes to mind. There are many stories of the great astonishment which this boy born in Salzburg over 240 years ago caused in Europe's cultural centers. At age 7, young Wolfgang dazzled audiences with his virtuosity on the piano, and as a teenager he was turning out one fully formed and heavenly inspired composition after another. And yet, almost incomprehensibly, when this wunderkind became an adult, despite all his rare gifts as a composer, pianist, and violinist, he had great difficulty getting steady employment. Mozart scraped together a living composing on commission, and it was not always the major concert pieces that were called for. Sometimes it was a matter of providing musical entertainment for various public events. One such commission, in the year 1776, was for a serenade to be performed at a party celebrating the wedding of the daughter of the mayor of Salzburg, a man by the name of Hafner. What the original audience barely perceived as pleasant background music was eventually to be considered a masterpiece of concert music, long after its composer had gone to his early grave. Here's the minuet from Mozart's Hafner Serenade. Günter Wandt conducts the North German Radio Symphony Orchestra. From the pen of a teenage Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, that was the Minuetto Galante from his Hofner Serenade. Now to the beginning of our century, and to Vienna, whose musically seasoned audiences were astonished by a boy only 10 years old. A new Mozart, they said, amazed at the brilliant piano technique and precocious compositions of this boy wonder who had been brought to Vienna from the Hungarian provinces. His name, Erich Wolfgang Korngold. Operas by the composer still in his teens were premiered at the court theaters of Vienna and Munich, and at age 23 he composed the work that made him an international celebrity, the opera Die Todesstadt. But the wave of political turbulence that engulfed Europe in the 1930s swept a whole generation of creative artists in all fields out of the old world and into the new. Korngold's new haven was Hollywood. He followed the call of an earlier émigré, the great stage and film director Max Reinhardt, with whom he had once collaborated on several much-discussed productions of Strauss operettas. Hollywood welcomed the famous European composer with open arms and gave him the chance for a second and equally brilliant career as a composer of film music. Korngold wrote the scores for some of Hollywood's biggest swashbuckling epics of the Errol Flynn era. Yet it was that very success in a popular medium that undermined his standing as a serious composer. Celebrated by the musical establishment as a genius in his youth, he was dismissed as a mere cinema music hack when he returned to Europe after World War II. While changing tastes may have passed him by, but today we once again value the opulent late romantic style of Erich Wolfgang Korngold's concert works. And renewed interest in this composer is also proven by several recent revivals of Die Todesstadt. Let's hear soprano Carol Neblett and tenor René Kolo in an excerpt from a recent recording of the opera.
Weiß ich sie noch?
Glück, das mir verblieb. Happiness I kept from die Deutsche Stadt. The Dead City by Erich Wolfgang Korngold. In today's Melody Time, we're taking a look at famous composers who were outstanding talents in their youth. Bohemian composer Bedřich Smetana does not exactly fit the definition of child prodigy, but a little piano polka that he came up with at age 16 shows a great talent in the making. The only thing lacking to go along with the talent was self-confidence. Convinced that no ensemble anywhere would want to perform this polka, the shy young man hesitated to orchestrate it. A Bohemian bandmaster by the name of Pavel Svoboda did so in his place. Today, the name Bedřich Smetana occupies a top position in the history of Czech music, and that modest early piece, Luisa's Polka, continues to be dressed up in new arrangements and performances. Here is one of them, by the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra under conductor Robert Stankowski. Before we reach the end of today's program, we want to keep a promise I made near the beginning for some music from a posthumous stage work by Johann Strauss. Wiener Blut, Viennese Blood, is a literal but inadequate translation of the title of that remarkable work that hit the board some 4 months after the death of the Waltz King. An aging Johann Strauss had grown tired of turning out new operettas, so he was persuaded to recycle several of his earlier tunes into a new story. And just about the entire score of Wiener Blut is a pastiche of classic Strauss melodies. It was the only time that for Strauss, composing became a process of sifting, culling, and refurbishing. He did not live to complete the work, however. That task fell to one Adolf Müller. Unselfishly, Müller stayed faithful to the spirit of Strauss. The show turned out to be one of the composer's biggest successes. Soprano Gabriela Fuchs and tenor Heinz Zednik treat us to a delightful duet from Wiener Blut. Filip Boskovsky conducts the Philharmonia Hungarica. Strauss never taught anyone a single music lesson, but he inspired many, including Adolf Müller, who was so steeped in the Strauss style that he was able to complete Wiener Blut, of which we've just heard an excerpt. There's a long list of composers who learned from Strauss's knack of creating wonderful music in 3/4 time. Among them is Peter Tchaikovsky, who heard and admired Strauss's music when the latter was in one of his guest conducting tours in Russia. Some of the best post-Strauss waltzes are found in Tchaikovsky's ballets. But perhaps the most perfect waltz that Tchaikovsky gave us is in the second movement of his Serenade for Strings. We'd like to close today with that exquisite music in a performance by the Bamberg Philharmonic Orchestra, led by Thomas Waldham. I'm Diane Erickson, along with author Barbara Anders, editors Dieter Glawe and Rick Volker. Producer Romy Singh and studio engineer Christoph Grove. I look forward to bringing you another entertaining half hour of light classics next time. Melody Time comes to you from Radio Deutsche Welle, Cologne.